So now, like I just said, today's Father's Day, and which is the day we honor our fathers, and I thought, wouldn't it be fitting to do a sermon all about our fathers and what a gift they are? Now, so I want to talk about that, but I'm going to quote Pastor Kevin, and I'm going to say, before we go any further, would you bow with me in prayer? God, thank you for today. Thank you for Father's Day. It's a day I like to celebrate. I pray you move any distractions or temptations today. I pray we go all in with this. I just pray that as we leave and we continue our day, that we will honor our fathers and never forget them. And I just pray for a good day. In your name, amen. Now, I love my earthly father, and I love my heavenly father. Now, my earthly father has taught me the importance of watching classic movies, the importance of rock music, and humor. Movies like Men in Black, first one I saw, late 90s. Tombstone, 1995. My dad showed it to me, and I said, okay, yeah, I love this movie. And then probably the biggest one that I remember from a very young age was Star Wars, which is still going on today, and I love that. And rock music can include bands like AC/DC and, you know, the importance of branching out and trying new stuff, which I also have been doing. And humor, in case you didn't know, my dad is quite the jokester. Our whole family is really funny, so if you ever need jokes, come talk to us. Now, what I just said were very humorous things, obviously, but there was also some serious things that he's taught me. He's taught me the importance of, you know, being an honest person. We like honest people, and we hate liars, and we hate cheaters, because we know that their words mean nothing because they don't have anything behind them, except more lies. Hard work, even just yesterday, I helped my dad do a project. I've also been helping out other family members throughout the years and over summer. And just being a smart and wise person in general. You know, we don't really like stupid people either. we like people who know what they're talking about. And that's why I'm up here, luckily, because I know what I'm talking about. But we like smart people. We like people who we can give them credit and you can say, well, yeah, he taught me that. Or, oh, yeah, my math teacher taught me that. Or my mom showed me how to do this. And so we just like people who are like that. Now, the first humorous things I mentioned are what I like to call personal wisdoms. Now, I call these personal wisdoms because every person is different. We all know that. Every person has a different personality, and, you know, our dads are the same way. Even though my father has taught me the importance of humor, rock music, and classic movies, not every father does that, and I'm sure that there are a handful that do. But some fathers might be more wanting your child to be an athlete or be an artist or just do what you want to do, but he'll be with you every step of the way. Now, not saying that my dad is not athletic at all. In fact, he really is quite fantastic on a ladder. Now, the second handful of things I mentioned were what I like to call spiritual wisdoms. Now, I call these spiritual wisdoms because these are things that your Heavenly Father and your earthly Father try and teach you together. Because God does believe in honesty and hard work and just being a smart person and someone who will follow Him. Now, I know what you're going to say next. You're going to say, now, hold on a second here. Not everyone has a great earthly father, which is an unfortunate thing, but it's also true. There are two things I can say to that. The first one is, you're absolutely right. Not everyone does have a good earthly father. Some people didn't have one at all, or just all they knew is that they, you know, made really bad decisions their whole life, and they don't really feel proud of that. They don't like knowing that their dad was a alcoholic or whatever. But the second thing I can say is that no matter what your earthly father is like, everybody, no exceptions, no secret deals or fees, everybody has a great heavenly father. That's just a fact. Everybody has the best, perfect heavenly father. Now, our heavenly father is the best father we could ever ask for, because he's always there for us. He listens when we talk, even when it doesn't seem like it. I know I've had a semi-rough spiritual life. There's been times where I felt like I wasn't listened to, or I just couldn't hear at all, no matter how hard I tried. But he is there. That's the important thing, is he is there. And the other thing that I love about our Heavenly Father and our Earthly Fathers is they love giving gifts. Multiple times it's mentioned in the Bible. They just love doing that, like Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Once I find it. So if you sinful people know how much to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Sometimes all we need to do is just ask. We just need to ask for a gift, whether it's physical or spiritual. Or sometimes it's just, you know, birth year, Christmas, where we almost expect it to be there. But we know that it's coming. So physical gifts, like Christmas or birthdays. One Christmas, my dad got me and my brother a pull-up bar. So if any of y'all wonder why I'm in such good shape, you have my dad to thank for that. So he gave me a pull-up bar because he knew it was something that we'd like, and I still use it every now and then. Hence the skinny frame and, you know, secret muscles. They are there. They're just hiding. But my dad also loved giving the gift of knowledge, like, you know, good movies like Tombstone and Star Wars, and all the way to good bands, Hendrix, Pink Floyd, AC/DC, all those big ones. God is the same way. He loves giving physical gifts and spiritual gifts. For instance, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. This is the part where Hannah is praying for a son because she's been wanting one. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow. O Lord of heaven's armies, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you, and he will be yours for an entire lifetime. And that son was eventually born. He was given the name Samuel. Sorry. Again, know what I'm talking about? Not really. But she was eventually granted her prayer, and she was given a child, Samuel. But he could also give intangible gifts or things that really, like, peace and comfort and stuff like that. I know we all do that. There's not really any getting around that. We all have dark times, and we just need peace and comfort sometimes when we feel like we're alone or we don't know where to go, whether it's which college to go to or what to do with your life or, you know, whatever it might be. So, and a great, probably the best example that I can think of, and I'm sure a lot of people can think of, is Solomon. The biggest thing that Solomon asked for, that at least I know, that I'm sure a lot of people know, is he asked for wisdom in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong, for who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? So Solomon was eventually granted wisdom because God was very pleased that he didn't ask for money or wealth or power. He asked for wisdom, which is actually quite humbling to say, hey, yeah, I need some smarts. I pray you give me those. And he used multiple times, like with the two women and the baby, who he knew which one would do it just by a test, which is very smart, hence the wisdom. There's physical gifts and there's spiritual gifts. There's personal wisdoms and there's spiritual wisdoms. And pretty much what I'd like to end on is there are three important things about these gifts. Number one, whether intangible or tangible, they are gifts. It's a gift. You know, it's self-explanatory. Number two, they're ultimately from God. We might think, well, my dad bought me the pull-up bar. Yeah, he did, but do you think he asked God for what would be a good gift to give? More than likely, the answer would be yes. Or, well, my mom and dad got me that car for my 17th birthday. And I'll say, yeah, but do you think they had to pray about it? Do you think it'd be smart to give you that car? Yeah. Because teenagers have to be careful when driving. So they're ultimately from God. Oh, sometimes they come directly. Sometimes they take a step or two or five or seven or whatever. Usually from your parents. So they're ultimately from God. And the third one is there is a purpose. You know, sometimes it's a car and it could be responsibility and it's, you know, they want to trust you and that you'll know what they'll know that you'll be smart on the road and you'll make the right decisions. But also it could be a sign of, all right, you're probably old enough where you can handle one of these now. And I mean, cars you pretty much use for the rest of your life. Once you get one, I mean, it might break down, you'll get a new one, but you're not really going to give up a car. That's one of those things that really sticks with you. If it breaks down, get a new one or repair it yourself or ask a mechanic to do it for you. So number three, the final point is there is a purpose to the gifts that you are given. If there's one thing that you take away from this one is kind of short, it's that every gift, big or small, intangible or tangible, personal or spiritual, from God or indirectly from God, it does have a purpose. And that includes our Father himself. My dad is a great gift. Some of y'all don't know. I'm adopted. That kind of is just a thing that we do. The flag, the blue and yellow one, is where I'm from, Ukraine. It's west of Russia, east of Poland, which is east of Germany. And the flag pretty much symbolizes it's blue and yellow because blue represents the clear skies and the yellow represents the wheat fields, which to me kind of represent a symbol of prosperity and good harvest. But anyway, I'm from Ukraine. I was not born here. I moved here when I was about a year and a half. We thought it was going to happen earlier, but that didn't happen. And there's been tons of stories that my grandparents and parents have told me about how they saw me in the orphanage. And the orphanage wasn't great over there. The food wasn't very good. The nourishment wasn't very good. I don't know why yet, but I was given to my family here, not back home. Sometime I would probably like to go back, but I am grateful for the family I have here. Aunts, uncles, grandparents, parents. My mom, unfortunately, is not here, but my dad is here. My grandparents are here, my aunt, my uncle. Even the church. The church has been a good family. Youth has been a good family to me. Because about a year and a half ago, we moved here from Kentucky. Was not really thrilled about that, but it's moving, so there's not really many people who are. Pretty much what had happened was ever since my middle school years, I had had just about all my friends, one by one, they just started moving away. Mostly it was a job. I knew a guy from fifth grade who moved once, a couple times to smaller places, but then he moved all the way to Tennessee, and I never got back in contact with him. A couple of my friends moved up to Cincinnati area, which is up in Ohio, and then probably my best friend, his name is Malachi. I kind of mentioned about this in my baptism, if any of all were here for that, the day before Christmas Eve, so the 23rd. Pretty much what had happened was, and I love this, I love knowing this and hearing this, is because I had moved here when I was about a year and a half. We were probably around two, so around, we'll say a year. I meet this baby, who I was a baby at the time. I met this guy, his name is Malachi. He's probably my best friend, I'd say. And he moved a couple of times as well, somewhere in Kentucky, first in Lexington area, then out to Wilmore, and then he moved a couple of different places. And then the big one was, I was probably around 8 to 10, he moved to Ohio. I was third grade, so I was about 8. I had been very, very sad about that, and I still kind of mourn over it. I had been praying and praying and praying that he wouldn't have to move away and that he could stay. And God, that didn't happen. And so that was kind of where things kind of changed for me, because that was where I started thinking God didn't listen or God just didn't hear. But there's a difference between God not hearing and God not answering. He always hears. It's just sometimes he doesn't always answer. I realize that now, that there's a difference between ignoring and just not answering. There's even a song that I listened to by Garth Brooks. Again, my dad got me interested. Called there's a big line in there called "Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." I won't really go too deep in this song, but pretty much what happened is he has been praying for this woman who he liked in high school, and that they would come together, and that didn't happen. And then he realized that the gifts that he had and the wife that he later got, the person he liked before in high school can never come close to the person that he liked now. That was something that kind of helped me through my middle school years. And so there was actually a miracle happened where a couple of times I was able to visit him up in Ohio. He came down, I came up. I was probably about 14 or 15, I had found out he was moving again, not closer but farther, all the way up to Michigan, which is where he lives now. I'd still been living in Kentucky at the time, and I was still trying to be optimistic and thinking, okay, if we can do 2 hours, why not do 8? And then I found, you know, because I was a kid, still am, and I just was trying to hold on to him and didn't want him to leave. And then I found out we were moving about the same time. And so now instead of 8 hours, now it was almost double. Now it's about 14 from here all the way to Michigan, which is quite the trek. I mean, that's snow, no snow to snow. He moved, and then I moved shortly after. But probably the best gift was that I was still able to stay in contact with him, still talk sometimes, and I think there's a reason for that. And I'm not the only one who's had best friends who've moved away, but some of them we have lost contact with over the years. We just stopped talking to because we just decided to take a break. But then once you take a break, you kind of forget to stay in contact with them. But we still chat every now and then, and it feels amazing. And I think that there is a reason that we're still in contact today, and that he wasn't one of the 5 or 6 other friends I lost that I never got back into contact with again. So I think that's a real gift. And someday maybe I'll see him soon, or I don't know when or where. Maybe I'll be at a steakhouse or a burger joint, and I'll run into him, he'll have a beard, I'll have a beard, and we'll go, hey, we both have beards, let's get burgers together, or just something fun. But I like to say that the best friends, the ones that are truly worth keeping, are the ones that stick around when things get hard. And I'm sure you guys have heard that 1,000 times before, but now I hear the 1,001. The best friends are ones that you can still talk to and will always be there for you. Whether they're 30 minutes away or 14 hours away or even further. I mean, it doesn't just go to America. People can travel to other countries completely, halfway around the world. And so the best friends, though, are the ones that will be there for you, or they will try and be there for you, no matter how close or how far they are. And kind of wanted to leave with that. I kind of switched viewpoints a couple of times. But even friends, I'll bring it back. Friends are a gift from God, keeping them or making new ones. I definitely was very good at making new friends. I'd walk up to people. Probably the first question I ever asked was, you like Star Wars? And then I would say, and if they said yes, then I'd say, where do you live? Let's hang out. And if they didn't, I would say, okay, well, what do you like? And then I'm sure somewhere along the way they'd say, oh, I do like this, this, and this, and this. And I go, oh, yeah, I like that stuff, too. And then I'd say, where do you live? We would hang out. I was very good at making friends when I was younger. And I think that's a gift that I still have today. I'm sure other people have that as well. They are very good at people persons, people who love to talk with people they don't know and making new friends and making friends for life. I mean, you never know if it'll be someone you'll meet for 2 weeks or 16, 17 years. I mean, this is a friend that I've had for a lifetime so far, which is just a gift in itself. That's pretty much what I want to end on, for real, is that gifts, fathers, friends, mothers too, it's not just dads and friends, it's moms too. They are gifts from God, and there's always a purpose. They're ultimately from God, and they're important. Now, I think that's it, and I'm gonna close this in prayer. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for Father's Day, and thank you for this privilege to be able to preach today. I remember when my aunt had said, I was wondering if you'd like to preach, and I said, absolutely yes. I'd been thinking, yeah, I think I'd like to try it sometime. So I ended up doing that today, and I wanted to thank you for that. That also was a gift. I pray now, again, as we go out and we enjoy the rest of our Father's Day and our dad's companies or father-like figures' companies, we just enjoy the rest of the day, and that we'll just remember how good of a gift giver you are. Amen.
Thank you, Jake. We're going to close this morning with the song that we sang earlier, Sons and Daughters. It's a new one for us, and so we'd love for you to stand with us and sing. Because, and I love the truth of this song, we are the sons, we are the daughters.